Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and the third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstones. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in your eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The gospel of the Lord. It is a known fact that is a precept that what is taught in the seminary is that when you're preparing a homily, that the three readings, the first, the second, and the third, have a common theme, a thread that you can find, and you should relate the homily to all those three themes. And admittedly, sometimes it's very difficult for that to do. Sometimes it's there because Scripture has been studied for 2,000 years, but when you look upon it a couple times in your life or several times in your life, to put the pieces together, it's hard sometimes. I will tell you that for this three, I racked my brain, and then it came to me in a way that I didn't expect it to be. Usually, the homily springboards from the gospel because it is Christ speaking. There's always a reading from the Old Testament, from the New, from Paul, a lot of times usually. And then the gospel reading. So we springboard from the gospel. In today's brief homily, what came to my mind was the springboard was the second reading. But yet the first two, which talk about a vineyard, are very interrelated, and it springboards into the second reading. And I hope you understand that it took me time to understand. My brothers and sisters, in the first reading, the prophet Isaiah compares a vineyard to the people of Israel. And the people of Israel is us, is our hearts, our minds, our souls, our lives, the way we live, the way we think, the way we perceive the events of our lives and the events of the world. And what does he say in that first reading? He said, "What else could I have done to tend to my vineyard? I gave it fertile ground, fertile hillside. I planted the choicest vines, the best seeds to produce the best wine." The prophet Isaiah reminds the people of Israel that God has done everything for them, given them his law, given them life. Nothing that they ever could merit. They could not make themselves. They were made by the gracious gift of life that come from God Almighty. And the prophet is clear and states, "And what grew was from a choice vine grew wild grapes." A wild grape is a grape that you can't use to make wine. It's sour. It's not good. "What else could I have done that I have not done for you, that I have given for you? And yet, you turn against me." Again, in the second reading, in the gospel reading, Christ says, "I'll give you another parable. A parable of a landowner that has a vineyard, and he owns this land, and he plants and the choice vine again, and he leases his land. It's his land. He leases it to some tenants to live on. And they plant, and he says that he digs, and they dig. He says to have dug a wine press to get ready for the fruit, for the good crop. And when that vine is ready and the wines are ready to be harvested, he sends his servants, the landowner's servants, to pick the wine, to produce the grape, to produce the wine. And the tenants that are living there said, no, no. That's not the way we've been living here. That is our crop. That is our harvest. And it's the same thing with our lives. When things happen in our lives, we say, this should not be happening in the world. It should not be happening in my life. It's not the way I think it should be. I am a good person. I go to Mass. I do what I need to do. I follow the commandments. This is not the way. And so what does he say? That a rebellious, disobedient people, his tenants, rebel against them. Not only do they rebel, they kill the people that are going to harvest his own harvest in his own land. And of course, it was the parallel, which is finally, I'll send my son. They will respect my son. And so the prophets in the Old Testament, again, we say that God sends prophet after prophet after prophet, message after message after message, that God's ways are not our ways, and that the will of God is mysterious. And finally, God sends his son into the world to preach the good news that God has ordained from the beginning of time, every detail, every thought, every happening in our life, as mysterious and as painful as that is, and we reject it. We all reject it. If we don't say we reject it, we are not being truthful to ourselves. Or then we're ready for being canonized. And even the saints suffer terrible, dark moments. So my brothers and sisters, that is where these two readings then, for me, became what the second reading is of St. Paul, where he states, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, give thanks, and in thanksgiving, make your request known to God. What does that mean? That means that we get on our knees, and when things good and bad happen to us, we are thankful, knowing that God has ordained for us what is right and good for us, as evil, as upside down, as painful, as dark, as disordered, as horrific as it may seem. And then Paul says, then when we understand that, and not be like those in the first reading of the parable and in the Gospel of Matthew, then we will experience the peace of God, knowing that he loves us, he ordained, he made us, and he ordains all for our good. And then our hearts and our minds will reflect and produce a peace and a choice wine and good wine, which is the peace and the love of God in his life. And we have the example of Jesus Christ. Though he was sinless, he suffered death, suffering his passion, but he rose again. He teaches us the way, a way that is not easy. It is not fun. It is not pretty. Look around you. Look in our hearts, in our minds, around us, in the world. Look for the history of the world. There's always been disorder. So my brothers and sisters, we have to understand, finally with Paul, how he finishes his second reading. The second reading today is then, because God has ordained everything, we must be positive. We must think with a resolute mind, and think on those things that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is gracious, any excellence, let us think of those things. Let us not devolve. Let us not go backward, but let us squarely place the cross on our shoulders, knowing that the crop is there, that God has given us everything. How does he give us everything? He gives us everything by what is happening right now in our lives, what happened before in our lives, and what is going to happen in the future in our lives. That is the vineyard. That is the gift. That is the mystery of the will of God. So, again, the springboard of the homily, the final word of St. Paul. Keep on doing what we have learned. what we have received and heard. We have to be careful in concluding this, what we put into our minds with social media, with TV, with movies, some of the movies that are coming out. We have to guard our minds. That memory, that imprint, that chemical bond that creates memory is there forever. Some of the movies that are coming out are just unbelievable. We have to be careful what we put in our mind. We have to be careful what we put forth in our mouths, through our mouths, for the betterment of our neighbor. Finally, let us look to our Mother Immaculate Mary, model of purity, model of humility to everything that the will of God presented to her. Mary lived a life of sorrow from beginning to end. Let us praise her yes, her fiat, that gave us Christ, that our yes, our fiat, may give us God, that the one true vine, the one true choice vine of our lives.